Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, it's injuries aplenty around the league. We discuss the impact of Booker's and Westbrook's injuries on their respective teams. We also debate the starting credentials of Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose. We'll be discussing whether Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard will be staying with their franchises long term. And if you were reforming a franchise, would you be taking Karl-Anthony Towns or Donovan Mitchell? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another off-season Just Ball Things. With me today from the sunny London, England, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
I can't feel you, Nicholas. There's an emptiness in my life right
there
now, my friend.
Yes, joining me across the other side of the world, back, you know, this is the first podcast. You're back, first podcast in a while. You've been
Probably a couple of months now.
Yeah, you've been back in London, so this is a strange format for all of us.
Yes, it is, but hopefully it's still good enough for us and the listeners.
Indeed. My name is Nick Busink, and did you know that
what?
This podcast was a bit of shambles on my end.
Well,
this new format got me frazzled. I was a bit underprepared.
Life happens, mate. We all one thing that we have in terms of our we mesh well in terms of our personality. We were able to forget the little things, move on, and just, you know, get on to the next one, as the infamous and awesome Jay-Z said, onto the next one. And I'm more than happy you were able to set aside some time for us, and hopefully our listeners are as well. But should we get started, friend? I feel like normally I'm looking right into your eyes, your beautiful, gorgeous green eyes. But now I'm looking at a framed, like, freaking photo of me and Ali, and as pretty as we are.
Don't lie, mate. That picture frame has me in it.
Don't tell her. I've got some bigger ones in the bathroom of you, mate.
It's like you've got yourself an Ali in a nice picture frame. You just flip it over and you see me. You just it's our little secrets. All right, don't worry.
I love it. Let's do some ball talk, because this is getting a bit mushy for me.
All right, sweet as. All right, we'll start off with some Busick Manuel scale, as always, sort of staple in the off season pods. Busick Manuel scale, for those who are new, is a scale that we have coined. And how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. And we need to be good on this, because we've talked about it and then not given any rating. So we'll try.
Yeah, I think we did it most of the, like, probably like 90% of them on the last edition, but we got caught up in the bants and such.
We will endeavor to remember.
Yes, sir.
But we'll kick off with our first one here, with some unfortunate injury news. First two here, injury related. The knee surgery Russell Westbrook has undergone is worrisome for him and the people surrounding the Thunder. Jackie, is this serious? Do we need to call an end to the Thunder season?
Look, I think worrisome is the key word here, and for me, it's a fact. It is worrisome.
Any injury would be worrisome.
Any injury, but I think Russ has had a history of knee issues as well. I believe he also had another surgery at the beginning of the 2016-17 season. 17-18 season now, because obviously we're going in 18-19. So obviously cleaning up some arthroscopic surgery. I think there's some meniscus and stuff that he needs to
fix
up.
Medical words.
And funnily enough, the article on OTGBasketball.com, we've got a new writer, Matt Nguyen, providing a really nice perspective to, you know, the general NBA talk, but a nice medical perspective. He's got a physical therapy background, so definitely check that one out. I think it's worrisome, because if he's out for like a month, and he misses all the training camp, you know, the offense goes around him and PG. And if you can't practice those drills, those schemes, offensive, maybe defensive, he doesn't really play a lot of defense. But I think that it's going to leave them maybe behind the eight ball come the start of the season, if he can be back by then. Hopefully this is just precautionary more than anything. But what are your thoughts, my friend? What are you going to give it on the scale? Because we're going to do that today.
It's just more the... I mean, even if it is a minor surgery, it is surgery. There's obviously something happening with his knee that needs to be fixed, as minor as it is. He's 30 years old as well.
Yeah.
And he's an athletic, explosive dude. It's hard to know how these sorts of players will pull up after... I mean, even after small injuries like this, I mean, Paul George, I don't think, has been he hasn't been the player that he was projected to be. He wasn't like what he was in the Pacers. He completely destroyed his leg, though.
Yeah.
But it's all about bounce. It's all about bounce back. So worrisome, yes, but overall, I guess it's not. I wouldn't be. What's the word I'm looking for? I wouldn't be going crazy about it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, it needs to be put into perspective. If this was something a bit more serious than a cleanup, which is generally what arthroscopic surgery is for the most part, but it still is obviously worrisome. If you're looking long-term, obviously that Supermax deal kicking into effect. How is a guy like Russell Westbrook going to age, like you mentioned, with his history of knee issues, 30 years old? But Nick, in further injury news, Devin Booker's broken hand leaves the Suns in a dire situation heading into training camp and the start of the new season. More injury news. It's a bit disheveling at this point of the year.
Been a rough week for the Stars there. It's his shooting hand as well, which is
I believe so
a bit concerning. But he did. I think he posted an Instagram that was saying like, "Get ready for lefty shots." And I'm just like, he is dedicated, and I don't know. It's not a dire situation. I don't think it wasn't a six week injury, but I don't think it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it was serious. Like it was a 6 weeks just because of the surgery, I believe.
It's just like literally one of the joints in one of his like hands, in his right hand, like you mentioned.
It's always a little bit concerning for the shooting hand, but I mean he's super young. They've obviously taken the right precaution in getting the surgery and making sure it heals quite well. He'll bounce back. I mean, I've got more hope for him than Russell Westbrook, even if it was just a clean up. But like, he's 21 or something. He's 22 now. It's something stupid young.
He is. I think he is literally 21. He's like younger than Simmons, Mitchell, all these guys. But Nick, I'm going to give you a conspiracy theory.
Oh, here we go.
You can give me your thoughts, and the fans can give me theirs. I was listening to Bill Simmons. I'm not sure if it was him that came up with it or whoever was on or some podcast. And they were sort of saying that, you know, he might have already been injured before he signed that max deal. Obviously, that 5-year, $150 million. And obviously, you know, you don't want to let the organization, Ryan McDonough and the front office, know that you've got that injury until you've put your pen to paper on the dotted line. I'm going to put it out there because, you know, you got to get that paper, Nicholas. You got to. Do you have your soundboard with you? You got a money thing for me?
I do. Hold on. We're in
the money. Come on, mate. I need that money.
Yeah, we did it, mate.
Money.
We did it.
Dollar bills. But I think it's worth thinking about, but also there's the other conspiracy theory that people were saying. Here's a double conspiracy for you, mate. This is like 9/11.
I need the X-Files.
9/11 moon landing all in one for you. The other one was people were saying that he was riding a unicycle. There was a video of him on Instagram and Twitter going around. He was running a unicycle with no hands. And apparently that's how he injured it, rather than just in like, you know, a scrimmage and at practice. But I'm not sure if I believe either of them. But part of the beauty of podcasting and NBA media is the fact that we can talk about it and put forth these stupid, unfounded theories.
Yeah, well, speculation's half the fun, isn't it? You just like create the conspiracy theories.
Which one would you believe more, my friend?
I mean, the contract. I feel like the contract thing has happened so many times before.
Oh yeah,
hiding an injury to sign Max and then be like, oh well, you know, this guy needs surgery. People do it with health insurance. I'm not injured.
Nick,
get health insurance.
All right, fair enough, mate. Let's Let's move on before Nick gets in trouble.
It's technically fraud.
With the federal and state government out there in Victoria and Australia. But, Nicholas, we have Luol Deng. We talked about him on our last podcast. The signing was inevitable with the T-Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
We thought some other teams would be a better fit. Tom Thibodeau thought otherwise.
Yep.
Luol Deng signing with the T-Wolves is a precursor to a Joakim Noah move, if he's bought out, despite what is being said by those in and around the Minnesota franchise. Nick, give me your thoughts, mate. I want to hear them.
I mean, it's got to be a fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, why else would you sign Luol Deng if you're not trying to...
Timberwolves.
It's not so much him trying to remake the team. It's just he knows what he likes. And
yeah,
he
true.
Had what he liked in... Like, he's a very stubborn man. I think that's very well known.
Yes, it is.
I think he's got 4 out of the five players now. Like he's
Kirk Heinrich's next, baby. Bring back Kirk.
I can see it now. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's got a checklist and he's just like a shopping list. And he's like, yep, all right, bought him. Now I just need to go past the, New York aisle and pick me up some Joakim Noah O's or whatever.
Joakim Noah O's.
Joakim Noah's? No, yeah. There's a joke in there. Frosty Joakims? I don't know.
Frosty Joakims.
Some sort of cereal variant.
Corn Noah's? Nah.
Where's Chaz when you need him? He's good at this stuff.
If you guys have any jokes that are better than our terrible ones, JManJMT, podcast@JMan.com. But I'll quote by the New York Times' Mark Stein, and he quoted saying that no current plans were to pursue Joakim Noah should he part way in the future as expected. I'm going to give this wiki. I'm not as factoid on it as you are, but I think that there is a likelihood on it. Before we move on, give me a percentage that you think, one, Joakim Noah won't be on the Knicks going into the season, and two, Joakim Noah will be a Timberwolf in the near future.
Odds on both.
Odds on both, mate. Roll that dice.
I mean, I've said it as fact. So if I go anything less than 100%, then I'm not backing myself, am I?
No, you're not.
So 100%.
But what about the other one? So and then the they're both of them. I'll give him.
I mean, if he's 100% going to the Wolves, then he's 100% leaving the Knicks.
That is true. That is sound logic, my friend.
That's maths. Quick maths.
Quick maths. 2 + 2 = 4. Still on Minnesota. Kevin Garnett made some. Let's call them interesting comments about the Timberwolves starting lineup. Obviously, he's a Minnesota legend, one of the best, if not the best, Timberwolf of all time. He said, and I quote, "I'd start Derrick Rose at point guard this season." Nick, are you with KG? Are you going to start Derrick Rose over Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones? What's going on with KG?
KG's had some pretty outlandish stuff. I'm pretty sure he called Thon Maker to be a MVP.
MVP, that's a good one. What?
Probably not starting brawls with Filipinos would help that. not starting, but it being a part of throwing some kicks in there. But that's for another day. He said some pretty crazy shit. I think he loves it. He loves the spotlight. He loves a bit of a hot take, does KG?
That he does.
And I think he's talking absolute bollocks, mate.
Yep.
There is no way that you start Derrick Rose. Not after what he's shown. Like, he hasn't shown enough.
No, he hasn't. And I'll give you some more quotes. He said, you got older, but the knowledge don't go anywhere. He's more crafty now than ever in the pick and roll. He's able to get shots for guys, and he's able to knock shots down. So, yeah, I would. He's still as fast as any guard out there.
No, he's not.
Nope. No, he is definitely not. I don't understand what is coming from KG's mouth now. Area 21, I don't know what's going on in Area 21 because it's turning into what's the one with Roswell? Is that Area 59?
Area 51.
Like he's 51. That if either of us are wrong, please let us know.
It's Area 51. But, that's a well-known fact, mate.
Okay, well I don't know. so thank you for enlightening me. This is. Well, I didn't know bollocks was on the Busek Manuel scale. Maybe we should add that one in.
Yeah, he's talking bollocks. Yeah, that's a bit of a London slang for you.
Yes, I appreciate it. In my new town, but yeah, I agree. This is as alternative fact as it gets. Mm. But another oldish veteran in the NBA right now is D. Wade. Still not signed by anyone, though the rumors are persisting that he will head back to the Heat. But Dwayne Wade's rumored demands to start, Nicholas, are laughable if true. Like, start.
Laughable if true. See, they're like your language there. I don't think it's laughable. I mean, he commands quite high respect in the in that Heat outfit. I don't think it's like starting is not finishing. That's the thing. Like, starting is not eating up the most minutes. You know, I personally, I would have him starting and finishing because that's when your vet presence can help a lot. But does he play 38 minutes a night? No, he plays 20, 25.
Yeah.
I don't think this is as crazy as, I guess, the question is leading it to believe. So I would say alternative fact. It's not laughable at all for him to demand to start.
Yeah, see, I mean,
he still has stuff to offer.
I think him and Mello are in similar sort of camps in the fact that, or if this is actually what he has demanded, that just, you know, it's not necessarily, like, we saw him in that Philadelphia series. Like, he won them a game or two, or maybe not two, but he won them a game off the back, and because he closed. I doubt that he started that any of those games, or maybe he was a token starter. But looking at the depth chart of Miami Heat right now, you know, I guess it's not as laughable in the sense that, you know, is he better than these names? You know, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Wayne Ellington. I think Josh Richardson, if he were to be a starter at the two, and say you start Justice Winslow at the three, then I think Josh Richardson is a marked improvement over Dwayne Wade and was unlucky to be All-NBA defensive team in my eyes. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in his role. But I think it's going to be what Coach Spo decides if Dwayne Wade comes back. Obviously, you know, that's still yet to happen. We're still yet to see that him put pen to paper.
It's just crazy. Yeah, you look at the Miami depth chart and you just see like a whole bunch of dudes who you expect to see at you know, like names you expect to see at the YMCA. Rodney Magruder. Like, are you kidding? That's not a bloody NBA player.
Great name, mate. Malik Newman. Jarnell Stokes, Nicholas. Come on, mate.
Josh, you've got like Josh Richardson. That's the host of bloody Countdown. You know, like,
he's a good player. He is a very good player.
Like, we know these names, but like, they're not household names at all.
No,
and they're such a good team.
Yeah, because of the culture that they've established under Pat Riley and the coaching of Coach Spo often goes underrated. I believe we had him in our like sort of running for Coach of the Year.
There were so many runnings of Coach of the Year. Like, he was definitely in there, yeah.
We definitely mentioned him. And now another one via a podcast, my friend. This is via the Game Theory podcast, I think with Sam Vecenie, I think his name is. This was brought up by both of them, and they were quite confident in this take of theirs. Donovan Mitchell is a better player to build a franchise around than Karl Anthony Towns. Now, that's a big one because, I'm a bit flabbergasted, but I can see the reasoning behind it at the same time. You got anything for me?
You need to take this into perspective, okay?
Okay. Give it to me.
You need to look at it as if they're both first-year players because Donovan Mitchell has the advantage of only having played 1 year in the NBA. Karl Anthony Towns has had three and has had a rocky, like, he's been improving, but last year, considering the improvement he made in his second season, he didn't jump that next level again into his third season. And so that definitely affects how people view this question. But just think back to, you know, 2015-2016 season, how dominant Karl Anthony Towns was and how in the bag his rookie of the year was. He was incredible.
Yeah, and he, I think, like, we had a bit of a chat about him off the podcast, And I think, like, you know, there's obviously so many areas of his game that can improve. Whether he does that under Coach Thibodeau, whether he can bring out the fullest potential of Karl-Anthony Towns, I have my reservations. But I can see the validity in this take. I think Towns, he's got so much area for improvement. Like, I can't remember if it was last season or the season before where they were talking about if you had a player to build a franchise around, and they asked all the GMs. And I believe Karl-Anthony Towns was
the number one pick.
Exactly. And now I doubt that he would be that pick.
That's exactly right. Like, these extra seasons that Karl-Anthony Towns has under his belt is hindering him because he hasn't taken the leaps and bounds that he was expected to take being now a fourth-year player in the NBA. Like, fourth-year player, he was expected to be winning MVPs.
Yeah. How confident are you, Nick, that Karl-Anthony Towns can reach his fullest potential? He can be a top 10 player, an MVP contender. You know, his defense can tighten up. How confident are you that all those issues can work out, whether it's next season or whether he takes some steps at least in those departments? How confident are you the fact that we can see the best at NBA level in the near future?
I think part of it has to do with how he's being coached. Whether Tibbs is a perfect fit for him at the Wolves, I wouldn't say so. I still remember his dominance in that first year. Like, he's third-year player, he's already an all-star. You know, he was he's already been all NBA, Rookie of the Year, three seasons in. I think he can still reach the heights of, you know, he could potentially win a scoring title from center.
Yeah, that's...
I definitely believe in this kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other great centers coming around now. You can almost say that he's being usurped by the likes of Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis. Those guys are all own. When at his best, who would you take? I mean, it's hard to say, but I think that if you are the Minnesota hierarchy, obviously, Tibbs is the front office and the coach, which I think needs to be something completely worked out. Like, you know, it happened with Doc Rivers. Relinquish his role, focus on him being able to coach, which is what Doc does best. And I believe that is what Tibbs does best as well.
Yeah.
You know, quit making the Timberwolves and start developing guys like Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, who are elite talents, number one prospects. You know, these guys are stagnating. And they're stagnating under your helm. That is going to reflect badly upon you if you happen to lose your job, which I think is a possibility.
It's a very high possibility, isn't it? Whenever I think of... go on.
No, you go, mate, because I was going to bring up something else.
Whenever I think of Karl-Anthony Towns, I mean, I don't think of all the criticism, which he has had, like the poor defense, which is evident. But I think if... like. Kevin Durant, for example, upped his defense under a different coach tenfold. You know, he became one of the best defensive players in the league. So I have every faith that he can do that. But I think of Karl-Anthony Towns and how special he is, a 7-footer. And there's one highlight where he just goes between his legs, behind the back, three times or something like that. Mm. He completely dribbles like a small forward off his off position, and he gets destroyed. And I'm thinking, this guy's a 7-footer doing that stuff. It's special talent.
It is. It's insane what the big men are doing these days. And, you know, if he is, you know, coached correctly, if he can reach that potential, then the league is almost in the palm of his hand. But do you think, like, if this is one that was talked about on Full Access Hoops, also on the OTG Network, make sure you guys are subscribing to that and this on iTunes. Do you think, like, they were talking about coaching hot seats? Do you think that Tibbs is at the top of that list? And the boys at Full Access Hoops were talking about it, and they think that he's probably one of the number one contenders to lose his job.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Scott Brooks is definitely on that seat.
Poor Nick. When was the last time you had a coach since you've been a Wizards fan that's lasted longer than, like, three seasons?
This is Brooks's... third season? I think Whitman held his job for four?
Around that.
Man, testing my memory now. My memory's shocking anyway.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up while you're talking about why you think that Scott Brooks is at the head of
We've underachieved most seasons. I think his first season in charge, we finished fourth with the funeral game. Oh, was that his second season? With the funeral game against Boston, we did super well there. Last season was just, null and void. In fact, no, his first season, we didn't make the playoffs. Wait, is this his third season? I am completely lost right now. What? We didn't make the playoffs, then we finished like fourth, and then we only just made the playoffs.
Correct.
If my order is correct, yes.
You are. You're absolutely correct. It was Randy Whitman didn't make it with the 500 season. He got fired.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Scott Brooks got you guys back. You guys made the semis with the near 50-win season.
Yeah, that's right. That was his first season. Yep. So this is his third season right now.
Yeah.
Yes. If he has another poor performing season, that's it. But I think that we'll see him. We'll see him to the end of the season. Tibbs might go mid-season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with the whole Jimmy Butler rumor that's persisting, there's been talk that he could be traded. Then I can't see Tibbs doing that. I could see another GM doing that, but I can't see Tibbs going, like, this is the guy that I got in to rebuild my franchise or rebuild this franchise and make them a playoff contender, and that. They made the playoffs, but they, scraped through and were, not horrible, but pretty poor against the Houston Rockets. But you were right, Nick. Randy Whitman had 4 seasons as
four. There we go.
Coach. So basically, since you've been a Wizards fan, you've had 2 coaches already, and you might be in line for a third.
Might be in line for a third. Yeah, that's right. Just one more person. If Cleveland have the poor season that everyone's expecting them, does Tyronn Lue say goodbye?
Yep. I mean, that was one that was brought up on Full Access Hoops as well, and I think that's
valid. It's there.
I think there's less pressure for a guy like Ty Lue with LeBron gone now, but I think the owner, Dan Gilbert, is going to want playoff success. That's part of the reason why they re-signed Rodney Hood. They re-signed Kevin Love to that long deal. They've still got the vets on there in J.R. Smith, George Hill, Tristan Thompson and stuff. So I think that we'll be talking about those three names pretty consistently, and there might be some other names that generally do pop up. But before we move on, let's give our definitive take on this. We won't do abusing Manuel because I guess it's neither here nor there. Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns, you're the owner of a franchise. They're standing up against the wall. It's Donovan Mitchell and Karl Anthony Towns. Who are you picking?
Donovan Mitchell, but only because of the past, because we've seen the lows of Karl Anthony Towns a lot more than the lows of Mitchell. Like, give Mitchell 3 seasons and that perception might change, but as of right now, if I know that I'm going to get this production from Karl Anthony Towns, and I know I'm going to get last season's production from Donovan Mitchell every season, I'm going to be taking Mitchell. Like, the smaller sample size helps.
And yeah, we've definitely seen Donovan Mitchell prove it in the playoffs.
Playoffs as well. Playoff success.
That series win over the Oklahoma City Thunder was an upset for many. Maybe some people had that faith in the Utah system, but he was integral to that. He outplayed for a lot of games. He was obviously had his ups and downs, but as a rookie to have such an impact at that playoff level, him and Tatum were, and I mean, it pains me to say this, they were light years ahead of Ben Simmons in terms of the impact they had.
Ben Simmons had one bad game. Come on.
He did, but Tatum and Mitchell's worst games paled in comparison. But we will move on, and I'm going with Towns because I've got faith. I'm going to go the other way and
keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Yeah, I think we might have to revisit this one because it'll be interesting to see how both of their seasons play out. But
yeah, this season will be very deciding for Karl Anthony Towns. But keep going.
Yeah, integral. Now, Nick, Kawhi Leonard will stay in Toronto beyond this season, as predicted by teammate Danny Green. He said this on a podcast, I believe. I quote, "I can just tell you that Toronto is going to be hard to turn down." Now, I slowed it down there because I wanted to add the emphasis on the fact
emphasis.
That... Emphasis. What do you think? Is Toronto going to be hard to turn down for Kawhi?
I mean, is anyone in the psyche of... Kawhi Leonard?
No.
I doubt that Danny Green has spoken to Kawhi Leonard about this at all.
Who does Kawhi speak to?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. I mean, maybe Toronto's going to be hard for him to turn down because no one else will take him.
Yeah.
that's
a bit of shade.
That's a bit of shade, but a bit salty here. Like, he doesn't know. There's no way. I don't think he will stay in Toronto.
I'm leaning towards, and maybe this is the optimist in me, and that the fact that if I probably didn't go for the Nets, I'd probably go for the Raptors. I've been to I think the Air Canada Centre, I believe it is. It is an absolute atmosphere in there. I love Toronto. I love the city. Masai Ujiri, get me on the vet minimum, mate. I'll kick around. Or if you guys want to sponsor the pod, give me some of those OVO jerseys. Me and Nick, like, we were all in on the Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan bromance. We epitomized
very
it.
Very true. Very true.
We should have gotten some jerseys and, like, just wore them. Speaking of, you would buy the DeMar and I'd buy the Kyle Lowry one, yeah?
Yes, of course. You are a lot more eccentric than I.
Yes. But I think I agree with you, Dick. I think the clip, Danny Green's saying all the right things. And obviously, you know, you generally do. When asked the questions, you're not going to say, look, I got no idea. Kawhi Leonard says about three words to me every 3 weeks. As much as that forthright honesty would be nice, and in some occasions we do get it from some players.
It'd be refreshing, that's for sure.
It definitely would be. But I'm leaning on the bandwagon. Like, you know, I'm going to go Twitter in the sense that maybe Wiki, because it will be hard to turn down. But there's still a very high likelihood that it could still end up being Kawhi in Los Angeles in some form or another, or, you know, somewhere else, Brooklyn, New York, wherever. He may not be on the Raptors, but if they have a successful season, they make, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, or maybe even sneak into the finals themselves and go against, you know, like the Warriors, then who knows? That would be hard to turn down for any guy. Obviously, the Celtics have their rumors with Kyrie Irving, but, you know, if the Celtics have the season that they're expected to have, it seems unlikely to me that Kyrie would leave. I think the same could be said of Kawhi.
You think Kyrie would leave Boston?
Look, well, the Kyrie topic is probably going to be one that we speak about on almost every podcast until the trade deadline and beyond. So we will save that topic because it's going to be probably the most talked about topic in the realms of basketball and basketball Twitter this season. Just give me like a quick take, Nicholas, about Kyrie, like, right now. Celtic for life or Celtic for...
Celtic for the dynasty, not for life.
Fair enough.
Like, for the duration of their success, he'll be there. Unless he becomes like a null point with Tatum and Brown, but I don't think he'll ever. I don't think he'll reach that point until he's like, you know, 50 years old. And even then, Uncle Drew can bowl. Uncle Drew can hoop. Go on.
I think I was literally just going to save my take, because then the longer that I save it, the more informed I will be and the less wrong that I will be.
You fence sitter, you bastard.
I'm sitting on top of that fence
you
in my
Switzerland bummus, man.
Hey, Switzerland's a nice place. Great chocolate, my friend.
It is.
Great chocolate. Paul Pierce on Anthony Davis, Nicholas. I guarantee you that he will not be in New Orleans by the end of the year. Now, I said last podcast I would stop like referencing GIFs in an audio format, but I'm going to do it again. I'm the dude who's like absolutely shook and shaking his head everywhere. This is wild from Mr. Pierce, the truth himself. Is Paul Pierce speaking the truth, Nicholas? That was a solid pun.
I'm Yay.
Give myself a pat on the back.
Pat
for
on
that
the
one.
Back for that one.
Do you have an applause soundbar for me?
I don't. I can...
Give me something.
I can give you this one.
Bouncing off the wall. Okay. Exciting. What was it? Because
you'll listen back to the pod, mate. You'll get it. You'll get it.
All right. I'll
Well, I'll timestamp for you. 34 minutes and 25 seconds. How's
Thank
that?
You, sir. Thank you, sir.
Will he be on the New Orleans Pelicans next year? I mean, small franchise. I'm surprised they've kept him around for this long. Not only that, but obtaining Boogie as well, retaining Drew Holiday, that crazy, that crazy playoff game he had in playoff series in general, sweeping the Blazers. Will he be on the New Orleans Pelicans next year? I think he will be. I think he's got a lot of love for the city. But the big markets can be a great pull.
Man, Los Angeles is going to be calling. Like Boston is going to be calling. I think that those two are the biggest sort of lurkers around the ways, because but we talked about Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis. To me, with Giannis, maybe Joel Embiid, you can chuck in there to a lesser extent. The league is going to be there soon enough. And in New Orleans, I don't think we see him dominate the storylines, the NBA Twitter sphere, the media, the podcast sphere, as much as, you know, if he was in LA. Does he want that? Like you said, he's been quite loyal, you know, to the Smoothie King Center. Speaking of, remember when we were in Washington and we went to Smoothie King?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is Smoothie King sponsoring a sports arena? I didn't know that they were that freaking big. Now, we don't know
I mean, it was good.
The Smoothie King was pretty good. It was big, but, like, it was... Boost was almost better.
I don't know. I liked the Smoothie King one. I was a fan.
Fair enough.
I was a fan.
Fair enough. But Smoothie King, you know, get us on if you guys jump on board. Mate,
you have no shame.
So, mate, I'm an absolute son. If we were to get, you know, if we were to get Viagra as a sponsor, I'm fucking all about it.
It's how I get up in the morning.
Timestamp that one for me, mate. I'm going to send that one to all my friends. But, this is huge from Paul Pierce to say he guarantees he will not be in New Orleans by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. It's a bit crazy.
If he had said, I don't think, I would have given it more credence, but I think it's an alternative fact because he literally guaranteed it. His like free agency status over the coming years will be fascinating. And New Orleans, you know, their postseason run against, you know, the Portland Trailblazers, like you mentioned with Drew Holiday, was awesome. Losing Boogie, what does that take away from them? Adding in Julius Randle, that might, you know, actually help their system more. It helped them. They were the number one team in pace. Julius Randle fits that mold. Maybe it allows him to play some interesting lineups with Nikola Mirotic, maybe at the three a little bit more. I'm not sure. It's going to be a very nice season and an intriguing season for the Pelicans. And obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be at the head of that. And I feel like Davis is a superstar. And I'm probably guilty of this as well. Like when we were doing JB Team of the Year and JB Team of the Week, like it was just consistently, like he just dominated the power forward and set a position on a nightly basis. So, oh yeah, he had 45 and 25 and like five blocks. That's just Anthony Davis. Like we come to expect that from him in ways that we expect like triple doubles from Russell Westbrook and stuff. And this kid is still like 23, 24 years old. It's insane.
It's, yeah, like when you start getting the production that you do, you obviously take it for granted. You just got to sit back and be like, 40, like 45, like when he scores his 45, 50 points a game. Game. That is a lot of points. And 25 rebounds as well. Like if he gets it, but like he has had games like that. It is, yeah, it's crazy, absolutely crazy. And because these guys are professional, like professional athletes, do it as a job. You're sort of taken out of it a little bit. Be like, oh, well, you know, these guys do it for a living, but it's like they're just still crazy, crazy talented when they're doing it against other professionals.
Yeah, it's unfathomable, and I think in the perfect situation, Anthony Davis is the perfect foil with like a LeBron James, with a KD, with a Kawhi, whatever you want to say. Obviously, KD's on the Warriors right now, but he's the perfect foil to bring down the Golden State Warriors. That's why, to me, it was very upsetting to see Boogie go down, because I was intrigued to see how they would go. Maybe they wouldn't have changed their system. Alvin Gentry wouldn't have changed their system to be a bit more of a pace and space, really get out in transition sort of, because that's a Boogie's game. But at the same time, probably the two best bigs in the game, like at full health, those two are just absolutely insane. So, but hopefully, you know, I want to see Anthony Davis, the league, become his, because, you know, there's only so much longer we have of LeBron James. KD's in his early 30s as well. I think the next person to step up will be Davis. But speaking of LeBron, Nicholas, LeBron James's list of contending teams is spot on, despite the fact that he didn't include his own new squad.
He was never going to include his own squad. He's a humble man.
He, and it's part of the reason why he is one of the GOATs, or the GOAT according to you. But his contending teams were, for those playing along at home, he didn't say the Warriors because he was asked in reference and he was just like, they're the champs, they're the ones to contend against. So he said Houston, OKC, Boston, Philly, and Toronto. I think that those are pretty spot on. Like, I'm going to go with this as a fact. What do you think?
I think maybe he's giving a bit too much credence to Toronto. Like, I am still a little bit iffy on Kawhi Leonard and how he will return after such a massive amount of time off. Whether his headspace is still fine, who the fuck knows? Like, you're going to assume that it's all right, seeing as, like, new team, new face, new coach, blah, blah, blah. Who would I replace for Toronto? Now, that's a bloody question. I'm not sure.
You don't have to necessarily, but
I think definitely, like, Boston, Philly, Houston are in that same echelon. Yeah, that same tier. OKC is a little bit behind them. Yeah. But definitely Houston, Boston, Philly right up there together.
Okay.
I would
almost have Boston tier of its own because they're in the Eastern Conference, and I think that they've got almost a stranglehold like LeBron used to.
I think Philly can take him though. I really do.
I think they can as well, but I think that there are enough valid questions about them and enough to sort of say that Boston last year was freaking insane.
Yeah.
Without their two best players, like Gordon Hayward is like we've forgotten how good he is. Like at his best, top 20 player. Kyrie Irving, at his best, near top five, top 10 easily player.
Yeah, near top five, I'd support that, yeah.
And I think, for me, it's Boston in a tier of its own. And we're going to get to Houston like in a little bit with some comments from Bill Simmons. It's for me, it's Boston, it's Houston, and Toronto, Philly, OKC. The reason why I say Toronto, I argue with you, is because I'm not in Kawhi's head. But I don't know if I've written pieces, but I've sort of done like some pieces for Beckett Media and sort of projecting the season ahead. I think Toronto at their best can be. I did a piece actually for the NBA Analysis Network, which three goals for the upcoming season for Toronto. And I said that they should aim for the finals because defensively, I think that they can be the best defensive team. Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, DeLon Wright, Kyle Lowry, one of the best point guard defenders in the NBA. You know, Fred VanVleet is no scrub. Serge Ibaka, if he can get something back, they're going to be crazy good defensively. And adding Nick Nurse, who is known to be an offensive mastermind, sort of revolutionized Toronto last season in terms of their system and got the buy-in from Lowry and DeMar. So that's why I have Toronto in there. And I think Kawhi adds an element in the sense that he's proven it against, you know, in the playoffs as a finals MVP. And before he was cruelly cut down by the ogre himself, Zaza Pachulia, he could have taken down the behemoth that was the Warriors in that stage. So, I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from, and I think it's absolutely valid, and I can't argue against it. But I will counter it with the fact that, you know, if Kawhi is healthy, would you change your take?
Yes.
Okay.
If we can get old Kawhi back, then yeah, they're definitely up there in contention. But that's, you know, I reference that back for the OTG pod that we did, how I reckon that Wizards could feasibly finish in second.
Okay.
Assuming that Toronto aren't good.
Okay, that's like, fair.
Because if they get Kawhi back to Kawhi, then we're not finishing second.
No, you are not.
No.
And make sure you guys have subscribed to the outlet on iTunes as well, following in a Blog Talk Radio, as well as us. But Nick, we'll go on to that Houston comment and we'll come back to Isaiah Thomas. Now, Bill Simmons, he definitely said this on a recent pod that I listened to while playing 2K. I've got a 2K article out, guys, for self-plug on otgbasketball.com. Check it out. Make sure you guys are playing the game as well. If you want to hit me up or, you know, play me online, sign to the DMs at the JMA JBT. But Nick, Bill Simmons revealed on his most recent pod that he thinks the Rockets missed their window last season. I'm going to go fact, but I'll let you explain your take as well.
There's definitely some validity here. So I'm going to give it a Wikipedia fact. Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a wiki. Because a lot of people have been saying this for a while. This isn't really a new take that Simmons is taking. Like, people were saying it once they lost. Like, that was their chance. Yeah. Losing Ariza, losing... Who else they'd lose? Anderson. Not Anderson was a massive piece. They lost a couple of other pieces. And, I mean, Ariza was the big one for me. Do they have enough now with their additions to take on a Warriors team that just added Boogie?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Like, that was their opportunity. As slim as it was, even with a healthy Chris Paul throughout a whole series, I don't think they're toppling that behemoth.
No, I don't think they are either. I think that they have missed their window. And I think the Ariza loss... I mean, there's people that will say, like, you know, they've replaced with Melo and Ennis. I think Ennis is the most intriguing piece going forward for them, because for me, it was that what made them contenders was their defense and their three-point shooting. Now, their three-point shooting isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But their defense last season was 6th or 7th, I believe. And that is crazy. Now, they're going to make a drop. Like, there's no doubt. Like, if they can stay top 10, then they will remain.
I mean, Capella had a big deal with that, and he's just signed like a five year deal.
That's
like,
true.
Capella was huge for them defensively, and he took leaps and bounds. In his game.
Yep.
So that will remain. I'm really concerned about Melo. I really am.
I mean, there's plenty of people who are, my friend, but I think, you know, we might chat about... let's talk about it now. I think Melo, I think, can add enough. And I think we did talk about it, the fact that, you know, with Chris Paul...
Yeah, it's a mentality thing. Like, with Chris, we're playing with his mate.
Yeah.
He's more likely to perform.
So I think that should help. And if he's utilized in the right fashion... this Houston Rockets is already an all-time offensive juggernaut. Adding Melo, can they get the best out of him? Can they provide him a new dimension? Who knows? But offense isn't what matters for this Houston Rockets team. It's about defense. And I think that they play a switching style of defense. And Melo in a switching style of defense, they just don't match. They go together like peanut butter and anything that isn't jelly.
Fish.
Fish and peanut butter.
That sounds disgusting.
It definitely does. I'm not going to be trying that anytime soon. But I'm with you, mate. I think that they've missed it. I think that their defense is going to be one to watch. But if they can stay near top 10, even top half, like top 15, if they're anywhere from like 10 to 12, I think that they're a legitimate contender still. But if they're, you know, 15th to 20th or even lower than that, then I think that they're going to take a significant step back. That's just a personal take. I think that, you know, OKC could even challenge them to an extent for that second seed. But, you know, we'll talk about that more in some season preview pods. But, Nicholas, you got some video for myself and the listeners. So I'll let you play it and then talk, because I can't hear it, obviously.
A bit of context. Oh, well, if you want to give the context.
I shall, my friend. Now, Isaiah Thomas, he did the sort of cold tub challenge, whatever you want to call it, with Kevin Hart. And he put himself at the top of the point guard list in the NBA. Let's hear his thoughts via Kevin Hart, via YouTube, all that good stuff. Nicholas, hit that play button when you're ready, man.
NBA, give me your top five point guards right now.
I'm one, for sure. Steph Curry. This is actually no order. This
no
is
order? Five.
I'm one, though, but no order after that. Steph Curry.
Okay.
Westbrook.
Okay.
John Wall. Damian Lillard. He's pretty good.
You got then Steph Curry, number two. You got Westbrook, number three. Then he's like, that bum. Number three. Then you said John Wall, number four. And you say he hit a wall.
And
number five, Damian Lillard. Yeah.
All right, so he's essentially ranked them in no particular order, which is, you know, questionable at the very least. He's put himself number one, not surprising there. You need to have that. I mean, he's had that mentality being a 5'6", 5'8" guard. You need to have that mentality.
Yeah,
I'm the greatest, you know. Steph Curry, Lillard, John Wall, my boy, Russell Westbrook. They were all in there. I think there was one more. Was there one more that I missed? I'm not too sure.
Definitely Kyrie or one of them or whatever.
Yeah. He rates John Wall pretty highly, mate. I think you might have some thoughts about that.
Now, I do, obviously, but I think that... I think the take is he's out of his mind for putting him in the NBA. Now,
he's not even in the top 10.
No, he'd be top 15 at best. Top 20, maybe. He's out of his mind, yes, but I respect the confidence. I respect the steadfast nature that Isaiah Thomas has had. And I think he'll have a good season in Denver. But the other point guards that he put in there, in no particular order, were the next five best point guards. Now, if he put numbers on them, we could have an even further debate about them. You know, in Full Access Hoops, we talked about player power rankings, and, you know, John Wall was around that mark, and Damian Lillard was around that mark, Kyrie Irving. But I think, Steph Curry is obviously the number one point guard, and, you know, you can go through the other ones and you can make an argument for any of them, whether it's Kyrie, Dame, you know, any of those.
Isaiah.
Chris Paul. Isaiah, yeah. Don't make... Is there a laughing... I forgot what's on your soundboard. Give me something that's giggly or funny about it.
Yeah, sure.
I will smack your face off of your face.
Let's do that one, sure. 51 minutes, 25 seconds, mate.
Thank you, sir. I will be listening back to that. Nicholas, we got one more, my friend.
Yeah, all right.
Unfortunately. If you guys have any topics you want us to talk about, you know, we love those emails that we got from our listeners last year. We'll give it all the contact details in the spiel. But Nick, have you seen these square/rectangular cube balls that have become somewhat of a rage on Twitter?
I haven't, mate, but I will endeavour to look at them.
So while you're looking at the video, I'll go through it. So there's a video making the rounds where these coaches were using these sort of cube balls rather than, you know, a basketball, a sphere, as a way of coaching shooting mechanics. You know, obviously flick the wrists, hold the ball the correct way. And LeBron jumped in. He was definitely not a fan. LeBron chimed in on his Twitter page, and when LeBron speaks, you better believe that everyone listens. He tweeted out saying, "Man, please stop it. 3!" That's bad karma for the game of pure basketball, in all caps lock. I don't know why I'm saying ! I'm sending the cops," and he put in the cops emoji, "to apprehend the frauds now." So we know LeBron's not a fan. Is Nick Buzik a fan? We know Nick Buzik is a coach. Would Nick Buzik, the coach of the runner-up... What are you guys again?
The Williamstown Cannons.
Runners up to for the championship in your league, would you use this cube basketball, or are they bad for the sport?
I don't mind it. I mean,
all right,
if there's potential to improve your shooting action, then go for it. Whether your practice on a cube is more the concerning part,
because
as soon as you this is about my cube. If you start practicing with the cube, you're not going to get the feel of the basketball, and that's very important. Feel and repetition is so important. But if it's a matter of getting an action down, I mean, you'll get without these cubes, you might get more players like Lonzo Ball, who can't shoot for balls. You know,
balls, you can't shoot the balls. Yeah,
balls everywhere, mate. If there's actual proof behind the growth, I guess, and if it actually, like, aids kids, and they'd be like, "Hey, I actually understand how to hold a basketball thanks to this cube," then what's wrong? What's wrong with it? It's sheer mechanics. That's it.
I'm with you as well, because I can see both sides. Like, that's why I'm going to go, you know, Twitter. Because I have a horrible shooting form. And if I had have been coached correctly, I mean, I was never coached. I started playing basketball like a couple of years ago. And as good as I am as a rebounder...
I was never coached either, mate. But my stroke is sweet.
Yes, it's it is very wet, Nicholas. It makes me wet watching it. It's part of the reasons why whenever we generally do horse, you always kick my ass unless I do something athletic. We've both got our niches.
You just need to go through the legs, and my legs are too bloody fat to get the ball underneath them, so I'm screwed.
We need I guess to an extent, but I would rather, you know, if I was coming up and I was playing basketball since I was, you know, a young kid, like if I was 6-7 years old and I'm being taught basketball, don't give me a cube to start with. Give me a freaking basketball and show me how to hold it. And maybe, like, you know, maybe Lonzo Ball does need this. Maybe, you know, Stanley Johnson and all these other blokes, Tristan Thompson, Joakim Noah, need these cubes for their actions. But
what kills coaching, though, like, Max, I mean, taken from an expert opinion here, 90% of basketball play is not coached. It's what they play in the schoolyard. It's what they play after school. It's what they play with their friends. And if you can teach them good mechanics at training, whether it means like an hour using a cube, they will go out and play and use those mechanics on the balls. Like, 90% of training is done by themselves. They need to learn for themselves. We just give them the tools to practice, and then they practice themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, and I agree with it. And if you have the fundamentals, generally what you want to teach as a coach is drumming the fundamentals that they know, that they're so innate that they can, you know, build from that, like you were sort of saying. But I don't know. I'm still Team Sphere till the day I die. The world is a sphere, Nicholas. Maybe Kyrie Irving likes these because they're a bit more square and a bit more flat. There was a really good comment and response that you would like as well to the tweet. Where, do you remember the It's Always Sunny episode where it's like, science is a liar sometimes?
Yep.
And Max, like, throws down the stickers like Aristotle and Galileo are bitches. The guy photoshopped Kyrie Irving's head on top of Max's head. It's glorious. I'm going to send it to you following the point. But before we end, there's another fad basketball making the rounds. Was Stephon Marbury's, the man himself who has taken over China and had a very credible NBA career at the same time. These I'm more of a fan of, Nicholas. These are, for those who haven't seen, check out Starbury Marbury on Twitter, or Ball Is Life on Twitter. He's holding the ball, and it looks like the basketball from Space Jam when the little aliens have stolen all the NBA talent and put it inside the basketball. It looks very, very cool. I'm a fan.
It's actually quite incredible, the ball itself. Like, can you imagine night hoops and you attach glow sticks to the backboard and the ring, and you just hoop at night? You bloody roll a few ankles. It's all part of the fun.
That's literally the first thing that came into my head as well. Like, despite the fact that, you know, maybe people aren't the biggest fan of street ball, I think it's one of the purest forms of the game. Mm. And I would, in fact, I'm coming into a little bit of money, maybe in the next couple of articles that I write, in the next teaching rounds that I do, I might purchase one of these because they are freaking sweet. And maybe, like, we head to VU at nighttime and test it out because, damn, it looks pretty.
Mm.
And definitely check it out, guys. The technology behind, apparently, when you turn on your phone with a light, that's how the ball looks at night or through the phone. They're essentially glow-in-the-dark basketballs, and they've got cool colors. It's a very fun concept, and anything that brings some fun into basketball, I'm sure that the old heads and other less traditionalists might not be as big of fans. But as always, Nick, it's been a lot of fun chatting hoops with you, my friend.
That's it for another week, Jackimo.
Spiel? Spiel?
I shall spiel time? I shall spiel. That just about does it for another week. I'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to another episode of Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net radio channel, as always. You can also catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. We are also on YouTube, if that's how you listen to your audio content. We are there. Do us a solid, leaving a rating, review, comment, subscription. All of the above helps us a lot, so we appreciate that. You can contact us at the JManJBT or at JBTNick on Twitter. You can also hit up at OTG Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by the one and only Jack Manuel and heaps of other contributors there. Lots of fire content there every day. We've got Facebook, Just Ball Things, you'll find us. And you can also email us questions, queries, comments, additions, whatever. Just want to chat, feeling depressed, let us know. Can hit us up on email where we'll read them on the show. If they are depressing, we won't read them on the show. We'll keep it just between us, but we will have a nice DNM, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstar.